District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32, by today's business leaders.
Welcome back to District 32 Radio. I'm Jackie Campbell, and today I'm joined by Alexandra Holdsborough. Alex runs a business called The Mentoring Effect, and they specialise in high-performance coaching and leadership development with our executive team. Alex, welcome.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, how often do you find that our senior leaders within an organisation actually need coaching and mentoring? Surely they know what they're doing by the time they get to that sort of position?
Probably 80-90% of the time, because there's a lot of leaders, they have already tools in place and they know how to work with the team. It's usually someone who has 20-30 years of experience, they're fine. But there's a lot of leaders, they're on the positions, they're probably just moving slowly in corporates and going upper and upper, and they don't really know the tools and they don't really know how to know their team and how to work with the team.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about team performance,
yeah,
the leadership obviously has a big influence on that, especially for teams which are newly formed, because, of course, they're not quite sure what they're doing either. So if you get a newly formed team and an inexperienced leader, I imagine that's a recipe for a train wreck.
Yeah, look, it's on leader to first know themselves, and if they know what they can do, or they're basically past performance and the team leadership, they can all bring to the new team. That's not a problem. If they know how to set up the values and teams and environment for the old team, it's not really a problem for someone who were already successful in the role.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So when you're talking about being successful in a role, as a business owner, what sort of kind of skills do you need to be able to perform at your highest level?
Well, I will start probably with knowing yourself as a business owner or as a leader. Just to be aware of your weaknesses, strengths. And the best thing, what we're using basically for the leaders, is the profiling tool. And it's a few different tools. So it can be Meta, it can be DISC, it can be a lot of diagnostic tools we have. And basically that's where you're analyzing the leader, what kind of personality energy he's bringing to the team and how he's directing the team. He's too bossy or is friendly, or what is working for the leader or what is not working. Because it's very important to find the way to your team. And that's why I'm saying always, when you're coming to the new team and that's already team working together, you need to be friendly, I would say, because you need to approach them and you need to find out what is working for the team or what is not working, and maybe ask them questions. And I think they are the best leaders that time when you're coming into a new team, and they can probably help you to, you know, analyze the situation.
So go in, work out what's working, what's not working, before you start trying to change the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And mold it in your image, so to speak.
Yeah, and especially when you're coming to new corporate or new team, how do you know? You know really nothing about the team and how they work together, and who can give you the better insights than team itself or the individuals. And also talking to individuals, you will find out who they are, and that's where we are actually using the profiling tools as well. Because it's very good for leaders to actually have an idea versus what are the members of the team. And
so these profiling tools that you're talking about, you're not trying to put me in a box, are you? Say, well, this is your type of person.
No. That's why we're using a few different tools, and it's huge. Like, you can basically use DISC. That's classic profiling tool, you know, everybody's probably using. A lot of people know about that. For example, when you have dominant personalities and you know 20 people in your team are dominant, they probably will struggle to sort something out or work together on a project, because they will probably fight at the end. And the energy, it has to be a few different energies that you want to have very different people together, just to be sure they can support each other in different weaknesses or different parts of their skills and attitude. And also there's other thing that we can use, and it's core drivers, for example. That means that you know how people make decisions based on what are their needs, what they need generally, what fulfillment they need. And that means you kind of access the personalities from different parts. It's not just one profiling tool. That's why it's all diagnostic tool as well. That's basically touching environment, structure, everything basically.
Okay. So why does that give you an advantage when you're running a business?
I made a lot of mistakes, like a lot. I was basically having a few different teams last 15 years. And even after 10 years of leading the teams, I made basic mistakes that I just couldn't understand why one member of my team just doesn't want to cooperate, what is wrong? And I try to analyze. It's more like you're like a detective. You're trying to really analyze the personality and try to find out what works for the person. I almost gave up on the person because I just kind of was over that. But it was my mistake as a leader because I should have the patience. Basically, it's just that humility and all that resilience, you know, like coming back to the person, working with person, even if probably it's pain in the ass, you know, sometimes. Right. But you try to find the best in the person. And that's very important because everybody has something great. You just need to take it out and, you know, find that.
So one of the biggest challenges, I think, as business owners we find when we're trying to build teams and increase the performance perhaps of teams that we've already got is that you're not quite sure if you've got the right mix of people, particularly if you inherit a team. So what's your advice in that space?
Well, some people doing very, very quick decisions and they said like, okay, I'm going to fire these people. I don't need them.
You got to fire them. That's yeah, it. You're out of here.
Yeah, I would say that's very expensive. Sometimes you have to do it. I agree. I would say because people are choosing people through hiring sessions, you know, based on skills. What is not the right decision? I would say that you need to find someone who has the attitude and the values. They're aligned with your organization. If you don't find that person, then you will just hire someone based on skills. That's, you know, it's never going to change. You can't really change personality or, you know, people's character. It's more about you can teach someone the skills. That means that's the major thing probably, just to be sure you have also your environment set up and people understand what are your values, what are you doing in your organization. I think that's why it's basically coming from the leader, because you need to have clear goals, vision, missions, all this stuff, and you know what you're doing. You have to be able to have clear vision, mission, and also goals, and all these, when it's system set up, it's easy to lead a team. But yeah, when you're missing these main parts, yeah, it's really hard. Okay. It's messy.
So did I understand you right? When you talk about hiring someone, that obviously if you're hiring a geologist, you need someone who is basically a geologist, or you hire an accountant, it's useful to have someone who actually has accounting skills. But once you've got past those basic skills, the tweaks and bits and pieces, you can teach them if you get the right person, which fits with your team. Yeah. Did I understand you right?
Yeah. For example, when I was working for an American company, we had a lot of hiring sessions, and the sessions were set up from 3, 5 to 7 days. It was crazy. Like, nobody wanted to go through. But that's how you can find out if the person has attitude or values that are aligned with your organization. It's basically put them out of the comfort zone. That means in a very challenging environment and situations. And that's basically how we were testing people. And we saw how they react. Some of them came after third day nasty because they were tired, you know. And you see, you need people that, for example, if the company has the value thriving in change, you need people that are really pushed and they are in really high stress environment, but they can still thrive and they are actually innovative and they do their work and they're nice to people. Because when you're working, for example, in a customer's relation, you know, like you're working directly with customers, clients, or I don't know, we have tourists on the boat, you know, and it was crazy. Like people were just super stressed and they don't know how to react. And when they overreact, people are so unhappy that you can't really achieve any customer satisfaction. And that's why you need to test the people for your team.
Okay. So is that almost a case of you're interviewing the individual, but in all reality, you should be in a position as a leader to be giving enough information about the role and your company,
yes,
so that it gives the person you're interviewing a fighting chance of almost interviewing you back.
Yeah, yeah,
to
exactly.
See if there's a fit there.
Yeah, you're giving them, of course, you need to give them all information and you need to explain what actually your values are and how you actually fulfill them or how you actually living the values day by day, just to be sure they don't come, you know, on a hiring session, they will be like, oh, this is not me. Because some people know, like, okay, this is not fit for me. Like, this is not right fit because I don't want to work, you know, under the pressure.
Yeah. So when you're interviewing as a leader, are you saying that you need to be asking questions which give people the opportunity to truly understand the culture of where they're walking into and then challenge them to really say, hang on a minute, do you think you're going to fit here? Because it's not just about the fact you're a rockin' accountant. We're building teams here, especially small teams.
Yeah, you definitely challenge them. You definitely have conversation. It's not just asking questions because you want actually, or I want probably for my teams, people, they are very proactive. That means I want people actually to asking questions as well. I'm putting them in situation like role plays. Basically, we can create hiring session that will be tailored for any kind of organization. That means that you're putting them in situations they actually are in a real world when they're working for the company. and you challenge them with the worst situations. Mm. That means that's how you can probably find out, you know.
Yeah. I guess if you're listening for those stock standard textbook answers, are you going to go, no,
that's
no imagination, no.
Yeah, definitely not using Google, you know, like what they're asking usually on a hiring sessions. No, that's not working.
Not working. Okay, good. Good to know. So the takeaway from that is absolutely tailor, ask the right questions and see if the person's going to fit rather than just have the skills that perhaps you're seeking. Can you type 180 words a minute? Yes. Yeah. Can you make coffee? Yes.
You know. Exactly. Yeah. Skills, you can learn. You can learn your skills in 1, 2 weeks or 1 month.
Now, Alex, when you're building teams and you're messing about with them in your workspace, particularly in moments, I imagine, where you've got, say, challenges coming up for your business, how do you set up some sort of motivating goals, both as a leader and set them for your team? How would you go about that?
Okay, I will start with systems. If you're using a system that is around 12 weeks, basically we're trying to help people to understand what is their purpose, what is their real reason to do jobs or to do something they want to do and what they want to achieve. The major thing, we always analyze more areas of your life. That means it's not just like, oh, this is my job, this is my goal, I want to achieve that. And next day you wake up and you will be like, oh, it's too hard, you know, I want to change it. That means it's not really your real goal. That's why we're using system that you're going through all areas. That means it can be finance, can be career, can be business, but still can be your hobbies, your adventure, your parenting, your living environment. It's just so many things that you can really access through different tools we are using. And based on that, you can create a small visions for every area of your life and you can kind of connect them.
So as an employer or a business owner or a leader, is it important for me to understand my team on that sort of kind of level? Because as a leader, I can inspire someone, can't I?
Yeah.
But motivation is an internal thing. You can only motivate yourself. I can't motivate you as such, even though there's obviously several books written about motivating your employees. It's an intrinsic thing.
Yeah.
So if I, as a leader, take the time to understand what drives my team, will that give me a chance to lead them better?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Especially when I was talking about the core elicitation, it's very funny, but we have needs. We have our own needs. They're driving every decision, everything what we do every day. You know, sometimes what we wear, how we dress up. And it's very important to understand your team, the way that, okay, this person has, for example, like the main drivers is significance. You know that, okay, this person is actually trying to get or fulfill this need the way that I don't like it, because it's trying to say, you know, compare themselves to other people, judging other people and just talking these things, you know, and it's making really bad the vibration in the team. Okay. You don't want that person there. That means you need to sit down with a person and ask, okay, look, I think this and this is happening. If your core drive, I can see it's significant. What would you like to do? Would you like to contribute somehow? Would you like to help someone? That means you can actually get significance out of way. That means a resourceful way and the way that will help someone.
Okay.
There are two things. First thing, easy thing. You can do that as a leader and you can find a time and say, that was great job. Of course, this is something we should probably do all the time. We should definitely.
Not everybody likes being called out like that, do they? Yeah.
And the thing is, this is for me, if I'm the person, when I'm the team member and you're my leader, and you will come and you will say, like, yeah, okay, great job, Alex. I will probably expect from you to tell me, like, hey, but you don't need to hear this from me. You should be satisfied by yourself. That means we're trying to avoid to look for satisfaction or, you know, somebody's clapping you on your shoulder. We're trying to avoid it and teach people or team members to get the feeling or that fulfill this need a little bit different way. That means you don't need other people tell you how great you are. You know you did the maximum what you can and you did a great job and you know where are your mistakes. Teaching people to be aware who they are, what they can do, and where is their border. But it's like, okay, this is done, and stop. I can't do better job. But it's all about teaching people to be better people in your team as well, you know, individuals. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So there's obviously some tools and some things that you can use there, but it seems to be about understanding, making sure that you understand what's going on, you take the time rather than just do the work.
Yeah.
Take the time to get to know the team so that you can definitely do your best job as a leader, but also get the best from your team.
Yes. Yeah, you definitely need to be a good listener.
Like, you need to be a good listener.
Yeah, you need to
stop
listen.
Talking.
Yeah.
Start listening.
No, that's, you can talk. But yeah, it's very important, because when you are not listening, even the body language, if you are not listening, that, you know, like, you don't know what's going on. You need to be really great observer as a team leader. You need to know basically everything. Like, you need to know what's going on. And that's why I'm saying it's very important to know your people, because if you don't know them, you will never know what is going on, why their job is probably influenced, why their performance is not, you know, increasing, what's going on. You don't know. It can be personal. It can be health issues. You know, it can be anything. As a leader, you should be having these communication conversations with your team members. That's very important. And that's another value you can set up in your team as an open communication. It can be, you know, your core value.
Because, of course, we work with whole people, not just the work part of them.
Exactly. And it's most important. I know when I'm working by myself, I can't achieve what I'm doing when I'm working with team, with a few people. Even brainstorming, how amazing is that, you know, just sitting with people and talking about ideas and systems, how to put it together. I think that's important.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Alex Holzbarrower from The Mentoring Effect. Clearly an area which we should all, as business owners, really invest, and really invest not just in ourselves, but also in our people. Thank you for listening. We'll catch up with you again soon, Alex.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the power of connection.